Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips, strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
This is the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about friction. Have you ever considered adding more friction into your life? That might seem like a weird thing to do, but here I want to share with you how I've been adding more friction to some things and how you can think about this in your piano teacher life. So first off, I want to share with you an example, and bear with me because this isn't super piano teacher relevant, although it kind of is, but we're going to get back to that, and I think it's a good example of how to think about this stuff, how to think about habits, friction, ease, and how these affect our day-to-day life, how we feel, how our businesses go, etc. So a couple of months ago, I started thinking, you don't like the idea of Amazon, me talking to myself, but you're using it. Like, not all the time, not super excessively by modern standards, but you're using it fairly regularly. Why is that? Is that really as necessary as you claim to yourself that it is? And the answer was no. What prompted me to think more about this again was I've had this frustration for a long time, okay? We have no real music bookshops left in Dublin. They've all closed down. There are some music instrument shops and they do have some books, but really there's no like proper bookshop anymore. And there used to be a couple of pretty good ones. I used to either go to the music bookshop for specific things or order from Book Depository, which Book Depository was a site that existed and then it was bought by Amazon, but they kept it the same for a long time and then they shut it down. That's what happened. So Book Depository used to have no delivery fees. That was kind of their thing. So it was very easy. He just ordered, and there was no like subscription for that. You just ordered and it basically included delivery. There was no extra delivery fee. So it made things easy. They had all the piano books I needed and it was great. So even after it was purchased by Amazon, I was like, well, I'm still going to use it, even though it's not ideal that Amazon owns it now. Okay. And then they closed that down. Great. So now I'm left with Amazon and other bookshop websites, right? But Amazon is the one that has most things at this time. This is going to finally make me get Prime because I had resisted it for a long time until this point. Eventually, I caved, got the Prime subscription thinking, well, this is a business expense because otherwise I'd be paying XYZ delivery fees. That's a while ago now. And it continued like that for quite a while. More and more lately, I've been finding that the books I want are not on Amazon anymore. Like, specific ones that I know were there before have disappeared, probably because there's not, like, huge widespread demand for a particular classical piano collection. So they don't store it. Or they charge an extra delivery fee for it, negating my having the Prime thing. So I tried, as an experiment. I decided, okay, it might still be true that I need Amazon. But the scenario I'm in right now is that I search for something, particular book, and if it's available on Amazon, I buy it there because I'm already paying the subscription, so I don't want to pay an extra charge for delivery, so I won't order it from a different shop. That's basically how it went. That just wasn't good enough to me anymore, considering how much harder they were making it for me to buy the right books that I actually wanted. So I paused my Amazon Prime thing. Still, you can pause it for a certain length of time as an experiment, and then later on, spoiler alert, I ended up cancelling it. But I paused it first as an experiment to say, okay, let's pause it and let's see if we miss it. Let's see if we're like purchasing piano books, which I do frequently. We have a lot of students and we buy all their books for them as part of like all-inclusive tuition. So I said to myself, okay, so we're going to pause it and just see if we feel like unpausing it. If we get a result where we're like, oh, I need to buy this book, I'm going to have to pay a delivery fee, it would be so much cheaper. That never happened. Because once my Amazon was on pause, that wasn't my first port of call anymore, and I would look at local Irish bookshops and find it somewhere. Some of them have no delivery fee anyway. Some have a small delivery fee, and I was happy to pay it. Because those total delivery fees didn't even add up to the cost of my Prime subscription. So that was the result for me. Now, what did I do there? I'm not trying to convince you to go away from Amazon, right? That's just a personal thing. Fun fact about me, I don't think billionaires should exist. So it just doesn't fit with what I want to support. What I am sharing with you here is an experiment in creating friction. I wasn't banning myself from ordering from Amazon. I wasn't saying I can never ever do that again. It's evil. I'm evil for doing it. I was just saying, okay, let's make it a tiny bit harder. And we can even unpause that subscription and nothing will really have changed, but we're adding an extra step. So it's not just order from Amazon because it's easy. Because it's not any easier, it just feels easier. So I added that step of friction. If the result was the friction was actually getting in my way and was making it harder to run my business, I probably would have rolled back on that, right? I wasn't that convicted about it, but I did want to try it as an experiment. And that's what I want to encourage for you today. I'll give you another very short example, which comes to you via a friend asking me a question. This was quite a while ago, but my friend was asking me how to do something on the computer. I'm on a Mac, she was also on a Mac. So I said, oh, the shortcut is this, or you can go to the menu, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, I'm so bad at using shortcuts, right? And so I shared with her my trick. I was like, huh, I don't think anyone's good at using shortcuts. But the reason I know so many is anytime I want to do something in an application I use all the time, I go to the menu, look at what the shortcut is, and then use it. So yes, in that instance, it's even slower, slightly slower, but not by much, than just clicking on the menu item I'm looking for. But because I want to be someone who gets around the computer quickly so that I can finish my work and go outside, get important work done that I want to get done, I look at that shortcut and use it on my keyboard. So if I don't know it, that's fine. I just look in the menu, use it on my keyboard. And then over time, I know the ones that I use all the time. So I learn them that way. Again, it's adding a little bit of a friction to me clicking on the menu item, but not by a huge amount. It's just a simple rule that whenever I had to look something up in the menu, if I thought I might use it again, I will instead look at what the keyboard shortcut is and use that. So here's the teacher part of this. I want you to ask yourself, what's something that your ideal teacher self does? Can be in any aspect of your business or your teaching. What's something you aspire to? And I'd encourage you to honestly think small. Little things that you think, I always forget to use those cards. I always forget to do that thing. I never reinforce that particular policy. How can you, whatever that thing is, make it easier, reduce the friction, and make the opposite thing, the thing you do instead, harder? So you're using sandpaper to smooth off the action you want to happen, and you're leaving the sandpaper face up on the thing you don't want to happen. So as an example, let's say you want to start every lesson, or you want to include sight reading in every lesson. Okay, maybe that's your aspiration. You don't currently do it. You think, oh my gosh, I still haven't included it. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. You just have to make it easier. So if you want to do sight reading with every student at the start of every lesson, as an example, just have the book or resource, like the sight reading cards, the sight reading book, whatever it is, open on the piano at the start of every lesson. If you teach back-to-back students, end every lesson, right? You're walking the student out the door, you're packing up their bag. At the same time, just open up that sight reading book for the next student. It's already there. Make it the default. Remove the friction to doing it. And increase the friction of not doing it, because now that book is already sitting there, so you need to remove it or put something over it if you're not going to do that thing. Another example in the business side of things. Let's say you want to have better boundaries with parents on answering their emails. This one is easy. It's easier than it sounds, I promise. Take your emails off your phone. If you currently have only one email address and it covers personal and business, and therefore you have the emails on your phone because you need to answer questions from your child's teacher or whatever, that's fine. Split them apart. Do it over time. It'll take a while for things to settle in, but eventually you can have a system where you have a separate work email. And your work email only exists on your computer or on your iPad or on something you don't open when you're not supposed to be working. Last little example, maybe you're someone who wants to play more, like play your instrument more. You feel like you never get any time to play, you don't get enough time to practice, and you're frustrated. Well, try to have a habit of playing just little bits in between students, when a student's late, when they go to the bathroom, when you arrive to your teaching space slightly early. That should become your default activity, because probably right now your default activity is try to get other work done, or maybe it's scroll Instagram or look at news websites or something. You can make that default thing playing the piano a little bit. How do you remove friction from this scenario? Well, you have a book that you want to play through, anything, right? If you're working on sight reading, like literally just pick a random book. If there's something you want to be able to play better, have that on hand. Have it right beside the piano so that anytime this happens, you have a spare minute. You're already sitting beside the piano. Your student's music is up on the stand because they've gone to the bathroom. This book should be right there beside your hand so you can just pop it in front, play a little bit until they come back. You need to have it right there. And I know a lot of teachers want to have everything tidied away, but there should be a spot somewhere in your studio where things get to stay out, because that's just the nature of how we do things. And I'm pretty organized, like most stuff is away, but I have designated spots that are like magazine folders that are right there, or I have space in the piano bench. One of the piano benches I have in my teaching space has, you know, the little hinges and there's a little space inside. I only put stuff for myself in there. So it's right there. Anytime I have a few minutes, I can get stuff out, play a little bit, put it away again. No, I'm not going to get serious, dedicated practice done, but you can get more playing into your life if you just reduce the friction. So there's my examples. I'd love to hear yours. What's something you want to include more of in your teaching, in your business, in your life? And what's your plan for adding friction to stop you doing the other thing, or removing friction to help you do that thing? I would love to hear from you in the comments.
Vibrant Music Teaching Membership costs less than the price of one lesson each month. That is totally worth it for all of the courses, games, resources, downloadables, printables that you can get access to as a member, as well as a fabulous community support you'll find inside. Go to vmt.ninja and become part of the revolution.